Is it possible for the Sabbath to be a gift and a test at the same time? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson from Walla Walla University School of Theology, continuing our series on the preparations for the end time, and this lesson is worshiping the Creator based in Revelation 14. My conversation partners are again Matilda Fry and Brett Berglund, also from the School of Theology. Let's go to that leading question. Is it possible for the Sabbath to be a gift and a test at the same time?
I like the first part, the gift.
The gift.
We give tests now. We don't take them so often.
Well, it seems to me that our language, the use of test, you know, testing truths, that really doesn't work inside of a relationship. One, when it's a gift, when it's a relationship, when it's a new covenant promise, one is not even aware. It becomes like swimming or walking. It just becomes second nature.
See? And part of me wonders, you know, we ask the test question, a test for whose benefit? Because I might be tested by something, but it may not be necessarily for my benefit that the test is happening. It may be for somebody else to know something about me. I know that biologists do experiments on animals all the time, and it's not necessarily for the benefit of the animal. Sometimes it's definitely to their detriment, but they learn something about the animal in the process. And is it possible for the Sabbath to be a gift? The Sabbath seems to be one of the most wonderful gifts. At least I've come to see it that way. But can it be a test? Yeah, but I'm not sure it's a test that I end up knowing how I did on it.
Well, it seems to me that if you present something as a test, it's almost impossible to see it as a gift. Now, in a sense, every gift is a test. But as soon as you emphasize that it is a test, you know, if I give something to my wife, for example, saying, this is a test, you know, how my wife receives it, this is a test. Ruin, see. But the way we respond to gifts indicates that we've passed the test if we take it in the right way. And now, for this lesson here, the three angels' messages in the early Adventism was a very confrontational. You know, our judgment has come, while it emphasizes the Creator. But when you get to the second question, I mean, the second angel's message, then Babylon has fallen, and especially when you link that with the other angel in Revelation 18, come out of her, my people. And it was Josiah Litch who said that, come out of her, my people, that's not only Roman Catholicism, that's Protestantism. And it is violently confrontational. If we were to go and hold evangelistic meetings in any of the small towns around here, and take that approach. You have to come out of her, my people. You must have nothing to do with any of these other Sunday-keeping churches. See, it would just be catastrophic. My vision for that type of thing is let's use our humanitarian and invite people to go with us on ADRA trips. Because when you are fellowshipping with people and doing that type of thing, you have all kinds of opportunities for talking about religious matters. I remember many years ago I was in Switzerland, and what they've done in each of the European countries, they have given them a particular target country for their ADRA outreach. And in Switzerland, their outreach was North Korea. And what they had done was, first of all, have bakeries. And for the first time, these people were having to figure, dual entry accounting, see, because before that they never had to worry about this. But now that, you know, how do we make a profit and so on? Now, it was still going to help orphans, see, but it was really quite amazing how they did that. And then the other thing was to build little methane furnaces in houses that would take the bodily waste, develop it, it would get the human waste off the field. And they then would have to build little greenhouses to protect the furnace. And then they would grow things and they would use the fertilizer. It was really a very nifty thing because if you see in those days, if you would see an infrared map of Asia, the one place that was totally dark was North Korea.
Yeah.
So it was really quite incredible. But what they told us when they went in there for ADRA, they did not talk about religious matters. But the communists there sensed that there was a power of God at work here, and so they would initiate conversation with the ADRA workers. And I think that that would be a much more positive way of just rather than coming in with horns blaring. And there's an interesting quotation from Ellen White, and I'm convinced that Ellen White in her mature years was much more gracious, much less confrontational. That had to do with her own understanding of who Jesus was. But this is one quotation, it's in Gospel Workers, page 119 to 120, where she says, "In laboring in a new field, do not think it your duty to say at once to the people, 'We are Seventh-day Adventists. We believe that the seventh day is the Sabbath. We believe in the non-immortality of the soul.' This would often erect a formidable barrier between you and those you wish to reach. Speak to them as you have opportunity upon points of doctrine on which you can agree. Dwell on the necessity of practical godliness. Give them evidence that you are a Christian, desiring peace, and that you love their souls. Let them see that you are conscientious. Then you will gain their confidence, and there will be time enough for doctrines."
Hmm.
"Let the heart be one, the soil prepared. Then sow the seed, presenting in love the truth as it is in Jesus." That's an amazing statement. You work with people, points on which you can agree. Instead of coming in, "Babylon has fallen, come out of her, my people." You know, even William Miller wished that they hadn't been quite so confrontational and using the second, yes, there is that, "come out of her, my people," there is that call, but how do we work with that as we continue on our work? And then there's another quotation, sixth volume of the Testimonies, Ellen White. This is an amazing one. "The Lord wants his people to follow other methods than that of condemning wrong, even though the condemnation be just. He wants us to do something more than to hurl at our adversaries charges that only drive them further from the truth. The work which Christ came to do in our world was not to erect barriers and constantly thrust upon the people the fact that they were wrong."
Oh, in that context, can I ask, what beauty then would, for instance, the Sabbath have when we're introducing people to the beauty of the, we might say, the Ten Commandments? What would the Sabbath have looked like in Israel had they kept it according to the law of love rather than a list of rules? How many people would have been attracted to Israel and Israel's God if they'd said, "Look, our God forces us. He mandates that we have a day where we don't." I liked how you said it a couple lessons ago. Yeah, liberating prohibition. You are expected not to do any work today. Every week, no work.
For that first generation of people who, after the Exodus, that is the message. What better message can you have as you don't need to work? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Who have worked and labored in slavery for their entire lives, and now they hear don't do it. And it is a day of freedom. Liberation, like you say. Now, when you come to the second time when the Ten Commandments are given, including the Sabbath in Deuteronomy, where Moses comes around and speaks to that next generation of people who grew up outside of Egypt, and yet the first part that they are to do is relive the Exodus, and because of that, now they are to keep Sabbath in that same way as their parents had done it. So if we today, after all those generations, would be able to relive that experience of freedom from slavery.
Remember Sabbath, that you were slaves in Egypt.
Sabbath is always good news.
Even for the animals, so that the animals may rest as well.
Right.
It's a wonderful gift.
That seems to include then anybody with whom I come in contact on the Sabbath. I should leave any contact I have with people with more rest, more delight, more joy. They should be more rested after I'm with them than they were otherwise, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That has some ramifications, I guess, with how I treat Sabbath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's very interesting today. Some of the best writing about Sabbath is being done by people who wish they had a Sabbath.
Mm.
You know, but when you try to bless a day that the Lord hasn't blessed, it just makes it more difficult.
Yeah. And yet there are a lot of books being written about the idea of Sabbath that are really hitting on. One of the most recent ones I saw was called Subversive Sabbath.
Yep.
I haven't read it yet, but these sorts of books that people are longing. They have a need for internal and spiritual and physical rest, and God's already given it.
Yeah.
And a blessing attached to the sacred time. You said we've lost the idea of sacred time, and yet God has preserved that.
Yeah. And I think that one of the great strengths of Seventh-day Adventism, we have preserved sense of the Sabbath and the day that God really has blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, it makes a huge difference. I know when I've been down to Florida a few times and worked with the Methodists there and done seminars. You know, when you have done seminars, and when you meet on a Sunday, the Sunday doesn't have the same bite that Sabbath does. See, when you meet with Sabbath Adventists on Sabbath, they don't worry about the yard work, the shopping, the other things that because this is the day that the Lord is blessed. We are free to worship Him. So, now I'm wondering, just for fun here in the last few minutes, what are your favorite Sabbath passages?
Mine is actually not specifically a Sabbath passage, but it's the idea that Sabbath is a precursor of a new heaven and a new earth, that what Sabbath is meant to do is recall God's creative work and His recreative work. So I just think of Revelation 21 when I think of Sabbath, that not that we won't keep a weekly Sabbath in the new earth, but that the Sabbath is also a reminder of God's recreation. So behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. I think of Sabbath when I think of that.
What's your favorite Sabbath?
I have, in my dissertation, I took through all of the passages in the Pentateuch. So I like the Genesis 2 text, and then I take it to Mark chapter 2:27, where Sabbath is made in creation times, and God is the one who is resting on Sabbath. And in Mark, Jesus comes and says, this day was made for mankind, yeah, for human beings.
The gift idea, yes, again.
In, yeah, my list of texts here, I have the first one is Genesis 2:2, and the last one's Mark 2.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's very interesting. And it's interesting, and this may be heretical, but, you know, the Sabbath is made for mankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That word Son of Man is Barnasha, which is the generic word for man.
Yes.
So you could say, so that man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
Yes.
You know, once you're right with God, then again, it's written on the heart and you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. And it's even deeper. So one last question, and this, we don't have enough time to answer this, so it's really kind of mean. But what do you do with those tough passages on the Sabbath where they stone people for picking up sticks on the Sabbath? Can you give me a one-liner?
As I said before, the man is picking up sticks just like when the Israelites did it in Egypt, when they picked straw.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same word that is used, and it's used only there.
Only there.
Only there in the Pentateuch, in these two places.
Isn't that amazing? Good. Well, our lesson for next time is going to be the end time deceptions, and my conversations partners will be Matilda and Brant again. My thanks to Jared Miller, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.